Our first presenter of the morning is Tracy Jackson, and the title of her presentation, as you can see, is Role of Neighborhood Characteristics in Explaining Child and Adolescent Obesity. Tracy Jackson is a PhD student in the Department of Epidemiology at Brown University. She previously completed a Master's in Public Health at Brown and a Master's of Science in Psychology at Villanova University. Her main research interests are in understanding how social and environmental factors contribute to injury and illness in children.
Thank you all for coming out bright and early this morning. My name is Tracy Jackson. I'm a PhD student at Brown, and through my work there, I also ended up working at Hasbro Children's Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island, which is where I got involved in this project. We wanted to explore the role that neighborhood factors play in child and adolescent obesity. And just to disclose, I have no relationships to disclose. So as many of us are probably aware, child and adolescent obesity is recognized as a major public health problem in the U.S. It's estimated about 18% of U.S. children are obese, and obesity is associated with a variety of poor health outcomes, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and a variety of other issues. It's been theorized that in addition to various individual factors, that where one lives and the neighborhood factors can influence obesity rates. However, research on this has been mixed. For example, some studies have found that living in an area with a high concentration of fast food restaurants puts you at an increased risk for obesity, but other studies have found no such association between fast food restaurants and obesity. So the primary aim of our study was to examine the geographic variation of obesity in our Providence, Rhode Island, and the surrounding areas, and to explore potential neighborhood level and built environment factors that might explain this variation. So our study sample was from the hospital-based pediatric primary care practice at Hasbro Children's Hospital. In order to be included into our study sample, participants had to have visited the primary care practice at least one time between 2010 and 2013. They had to be between the ages of 2 and 17 at the time of their visit. They had to have had their height and weight measured at the same day at least one time during the study period. And they had to have a home address that could be geocoded, so not a PO box or anything else that was unable to geocode. We calculated BMI using the standard weight in kilograms divided by height in meters squared formula. If they had more than one height and weight measure, we used the one from the most recent visit. And then we used the CDC guidelines based on age and sex percentile rankings for children to classify kids into one of four categories, either obese, overweight, healthy weight, or underweight. And obese was our primary outcome of interest, and this was defined as kids that ranked in the 95th percentile or above in BMI. Again, the neighborhood factors were our main kind of outcome of interest, and we defined a neighborhood as at the block group level. For those of you who may not be familiar with block groups, they are kind of what they sound like. A block group is a group of blocks. There's about 1,500 people estimated to live on average in a block group, though it can range from about 600 to 3,000. But they're smaller than a census tract, so it's a more fine level type of analysis. From the U.S. Census, we were able to obtain various neighborhood level demographic factors, such as poverty level, median household income, as well as things like racial composition of the block groups. And from the Rhode Island Department of Health, we obtained the addresses of all the fast food restaurants and supermarkets in the state of Rhode Island. So we used ArcGIS to map the addresses of our patients and the markets and fast food restaurants. In total, there were 8,092 patients in our sample, as well as 106 markets and 613 fast food restaurants. We looked at these fast food restaurants and markets in two different ways. In the first way, we calculated the number of fast food restaurants and markets within each individual block group. And then secondarily, we drew half-mile buffers around each individual home address and then calculated how many markets and fast food restaurants were within each of these buffers, so within a half-mile of each individual's home. And similarly, we conducted our analyses at two different levels. First, the geographic level, where we calculated the percent of patients in each block group that were identified as obese. And for this analysis, we excluded block groups where we had less than 20 patients residing. A lot of block groups, we didn't have any patients whatsoever. but we excluded those that had less than 20. So this left us with 129 block groups in our sample and a little over 6,000 participants. And then we used ANOVAs to examine the relationship between obesity level of the block group and various demographic and built environment characteristics. Secondarily, we conducted our analyses at the individual level, and using this method, we conducted a log binomial model to estimate the risk of obesity, and we included various individual level and neighborhood level characteristics in this model. So just our overall study sample, we had about 8,092 people in our sample. We had a fairly even distribution of males and females, about 50-50. Our sample was largely Hispanic, about 48%, about 30% non-Hispanic black, and 15% white. We had a fairly even distribution of age across our sample, mostly in the 2 to 5 category, but we still had a fairly even decent sampling among the older age groups. Our mean age was about 8 or 9. And our sample was largely publicly insured at about 84%, and 13% were on private insurance. In total, about 22% of our sample was classified as obese, so this is slightly above the national average of around 18. And we had about 19% overweight and about 56 or 58% healthy weight. Again, our main level of analysis was at the block group level. So we computed the mean obesity rate of block groups, and this, again, excluded those that had less than 20 participants in the block group. So including this sample, our mean obesity prevalence was about 22%. And we saw a pretty wide range of prevalence across block groups, ranging from 0% all the way up to 44%. So we had a pretty wide distribution there. About 32% of block groups had an obesity prevalence of 25% or greater, and about 15% of block groups had a prevalence below 15%. So this is what our map looks like. It's the area of Providence and the surrounding areas. The gray represents the block groups that were excluded, and all the little units of analysis are the block groups that you see there. The light yellow is those that are 15%, have a obesity prevalence of 15% or below. The middle group is 15 to 25% in the orange there, and then the dark red is those that are greater than 25%. And just kind of eyeballing it, we didn't see any kind of major clustering. It's just kind of spread out in terms of where the higher obesity groups resided. So after we saw our pretty significant variation in obesity, we wanted to look at some various demographic characteristics that might explain obesity, thinking that perhaps the lower income communities would have higher rates of obesity. However, when we looked at our analyses, we found no association. So we have this variation, but none of the variables that we looked at in terms of demographics appear to explain the variation. If you look at our median household income measure, we classified participants into three groups: income or block group income of less than 25%, median block group income of 25,000 to 40,000, or 40,000 and above. And if you look at the obesity prevalence across these block groups, you don't really see much difference in terms of median household income. So it's about 23% for those at the lowest income group, 21% in those in the middle income group, and about 22% in the highest block group income group. Similarly, we looked at things like percent of the block group that owns their own home as kind of a measure of mobility, thinking that those who move more often or didn't own their own home would be perhaps at a more increased risk for obesity. But similarly, we found no such significant effects. It was pretty even in terms of percent. In our lowest percentage of owning an own home, obesity was 22%. In our middle category, obesity rates are 21%. And in our highest category, it's about 23%. So not much variation in terms of these factors that we looked at. We also looked at some built environment characteristics, thinking that the presence of a market, supermarket in a block group, and access to fresh food would decrease obesity rates. But again, we found non-significant findings here, though only 11 of our block groups actually had a market in the block group. So I don't know if this is a finding due to the lack of markets. But similarly, with fast food restaurants, we found no such association between fast food restaurant in the block group and obesity rates. It was pretty much as close to null as you can get with 22%, whether or not they had a fast food restaurant or a black group. So secondarily, we conducted our analyses using at the individual level, including various individual and neighborhood level factors into our model to predict the risk of obesity. And we did get some significant findings here. Older age put individuals at a slightly increased risk of obesity with a risk ratio of about 1.03. Surprisingly, non-Hispanic black was actually a protective factor, though they had slightly lower rates of obesity with a risk ratio of 0.86. We also found that those who were on self-pay insurance had lower rates of obesity. And here we did find an impact of having a market in the black group or within a half mile of one's residence. So this was where we drew the buffers around each individual home address. And those that did not have a market within a half mile were at increased risk of obesity, a risk ratio of 1.14. So maybe there's something to the markets there. So again, we found that obesity rates varied substantially when we looked across black groups, with a variation from about 0 to 44%. But the various demographic characteristics and built environment characteristics that we looked at the black group level did not appear to explain this variation. This is perhaps due to just the low overall income of our sample. We only had two black groups that had an income level above $60,000, and median income was about $32,000, so perhaps we needed some higher income groups in our sample in order to see this effect of income on obesity, if there is one. Our main finding from the individual level analyses was that lack of access to a market was associated with increased risk of obesity. Again, this may be because they're not eating, they don't have access to fresh food, so they're maybe not eating as healthy as they should be. So our future research is needed to further identify these neighborhood characteristics that might explain obesity at the black group level. And it would also be useful to explore whether the importance of neighborhood characteristics differ based on individual characteristics, based on age, gender, race. If there might be characteristics that are more important for some groups than others.